Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up Podcast, first episode of 2018, and the first ever episode recorded in the Kill House.
The Kill House.
We are here. We are plugged in. DJ, why don't you tell us, what the hell is the Kill House?
First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy
New guys.
Year.
New Year, new us.
You as well. Feliz Nuevo Año.
Coming live from Neptune Beach. Where do you want to start? I mean, the Kill House has been kind of a running joke with us, I think, since the Tiger ESPN story came out and talked about him firing live ammunition with the SEALs and inside the Kill House and doing all that stuff. I think since then, we've probably been on the lookout for a Kill House, an NLU Kill House. And with Solly moving out of the parents' basement, looking to get on his own two feet, you know, find his own place. Just, you know, kind of pieces fell into place here in beautiful Neptune Beach. My wife,
Coast.
Justine, my wife and I were like literally riding our bikes, cruising past, and did like a classic movie double take on this place when we were going by. Saw a for rent sign, and yeah, a couple weeks later, here we are.
We're not going to pass out the address just yet.
But no,
you'll hear it. Halfway between.
There's only like 14 houses in Neptune Beach.
Address and the Carter address. So we've got a little bit of a buffer so that we don't.
That's right.
Completely.
Kind of a designated survivor situation.
Yeah, annihilate our wives with hashtag content.
Yeah. It's a nice commute for you guys. People were confused whether or not we're all living together, which we're clarifying.
Yeah, we've gotten that question a couple times. Like, people ask me, did you move in with Solly? I'm like, no, I'm like married. Like, have like a whole other life.
Yeah, that, Tron, like, his wife, and his 1 year old have moved into the Kill House with us. Yeah, yeah, two dogs.
The Branch Davidian compound.
I'm a little bit worried though that this is not zoned for commercial purposes and
that's true.
Military purposes.
But we are calling, so the downstairs is the office and the Kill House.
We don't have that much commercial activity, luckily, so that's good.
The upstairs is going to be called the Bro's Nest. That's where,
or the residence.
That's where I'll be living. But we have a lot of work to do in here. We have a lot of decorating to do.
And shout out to Big Randy. Hopefully he joins us in April or May.
Yeah, he's got a tough basketball season he's got to get through.
Yeah, they're undefeated still.
Huge.
So shout out.
Can people go support Big Randy's team?
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio.
What's the high school?
Upper Arlington.
Upper Arlington freshman team.
Jack Nicklaus's alma mater.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in the Columbus area, go give Randy a shout.
They're the Golden Bears, right?
That's right. Yeah. But we need some help in the Kill House with decoration. So if there's people out there that have, if you have any artistic abilities or any desire to have your stuff featured in the Kill House, shoot us an email or DM or something, because we need some action here.
We've got, you know, it's coming
along.
We've
got some stuff.
And it will be featured.
It will be heavily featured.
We got the chief in poster that we found at the Salvation Army.
Shout out Dennis Paulson.
Shout out to Dennis Paulson, the chief.
We got Lee Wybransky up on the wall
here.
We got
a lot of Lee Wybransky. Shout out to Lee Wybransky. You can order those posters right now on nolayingup.com/shop. Get involved.
I think that's it. All right,
We got a couple caddy bibs, you know, some posters, ballpark blueprints,
a stolen bag drop sign, a motivational poster, and a picture of
the Kennedy Space Center
of a rocket launching. It gets me absolutely amped every time I see it.
Tron, why don't you tell us about the other big news that dropped this week?
Sergio's going with Callaway. No, I quit my hashtag day job this week.
Unshackled.
Yeah, unshackled, unleashed.
You quit your day job, but you did not quit your daydream. So here we are.
Correct. I'm committing to the daydream. So yeah, I got another week and a half to go as far as my 2 weeks, and then from there I'm kind of home free and ready to just ramp it up.
Grinding out in the Kill House.
So what does that mean? What's that mean when you guys make the change? Solly, you've kind of done it here. Tron, you're on your way.
Hashtag content.
More content.
Written, video, with the help of DJ, more podcasts. Hopefully,
the trap draw.
Hopefully, more than three trap draws this year.
2017 was a tough year for everyone, though.
It was.
You know.
How many trap draws were there in 2017?
I think there's six total. I just don't know. There might have been three, maybe four in 2017. But they were good.
They were quality. Really good ones. It's like the Golfers Journal. Totally. It's like a quarterly, 100%. Quarterly.
It's a quarterly podcast.
Yeah.
It's more of an art house podcast.
All right. I think that's enough on us. I want to start. We're going to make some predictions for 2018. And then we got a lot of questions. We're going to get into, I know there's a lot of questions about our operations, everything that we've got going on. So we're going to address a lot of those in kind of this preview episode for the year, but we're going to talk a little bit of golf first. Usually I do it like a December mailbag and predict all four major winners for the year. I've only ever gotten one right ever. I'll take that one though. It was DJ at the US Open.
That's the only time either of us have ever gotten one right.
Never. It's harder than you might think. We're going to each predict the major winners in 2018. So DJ first, who's your Masters champion?
It's not very creative, and I don't think I would enjoy watching it all that much, but my guy's Justin Rose.
Ooh.
I mean, he's on a roll. You know he's going to be in the top 10, you know, and from there it's just kind of a crapshoot. It's kind of a numbers game, you know. Give me someone who's going to be up there, and we'll see. I mean, I unfortunately kind of think he might be primed for a big year. He's not the most exciting guy to watch, I don't think. It's no offense to him. He's, you know, been very nice to me personally, like, a number of times.
He's great.
He's a great guy.
At the BMW, you know? He was awesome.
He just doesn't really get me all that excited. But, you know,
maybe conversations with people have said, people in the know, they're like, yeah, Justin Rose, he does everything possible to be number one in the world.
Yeah.
Like, he plays often, plays around the world, gets up for big events, gets up for WGCs. Totally. Like,
he had a huge fall. Exactly. He had an absurd fall.
Just stacking points.
Yeah. So. Okay, I'll take that.
That's okay, right?
Tron?
I'm going to go with Mark Leishman.
Ooh. Oh, who didn't see that coming?
I thought about that.
It's tight. I mean, he's going to win one in 2018.
Yeah.
I penciled for another one. Spoiler alert.
It's either that or Shinny. So.
Okay. I've said this in the past. I'm sticking with it. I'm going to pick him for the next 20 years. I'm taking Spieth.
He's going to
win like
that.
Five of them. So I'm bound to get one of those right. So, all right. US Open, Shinnecock.
Do I start for all of them?
Sure. No, let's go Tron first.
All right.
These guys were very well prepared for this.
Patrick Cantlay.
Whoa. All right.
I love that.
You heard it here first.
Might have to change my PGA pick now.
Whoa.
You weren't prepared for that?
No, I mean, it makes sense.
I'll give you a breather.
No. This is the one I had pecked at. This okay. Mark Leishman.
That's, okay.
You know, I'm glad to hear that we're on kind of a similar wavelength there. I mean, probably all the same reasons you'd expect.
All right. I'm going JT. I should have picked him to win one last year. I didn't. Just didn't think he was there. I think he's totally there now, and I think he's going to win the US Open.
I also want to take this opportunity to kind of lobby the USGA to give ZB a special exemption into the US Open if he doesn't make it on his own merit to Shinnecock. I think golden age guy.
On what grounds?
Just because, you know, I think he deserves it.
Okay.
I think it'd be good. If we're on the topic of exemptions here, I can't let this pass without taking the opportunity to. It is, it's Thursday night, the week before the Sony Open, and ZB and Tad Fujikawa are not yet in the field, which I think is an absolute travesty.
Responsible for two of the greatest moments in tournament history.
The two greatest moments. ZB's, oh my God, that's so, or what was it?
Oh, that's so good.
So good.
And then Fujikawa fist pump in the made cut. I mean, name a guy who's done more other than maybe, what is it, Jumbo Ozaki or...
Asao Oki.
Yeah, Asao Oki, who's done more for that tournament than Tad Fujikawa. I'll wait.
I'll hang up and listen.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm all in. If they don't get a spot in the field, then there's something fishy going on. Something stinks.
British Open. I'll start. I feel like I'm falling in line now, but I had Mark Leishman pegged to win the
Whoa,
British Open.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I really did.
Yes. That's great.
Yeah, I think he almost won at St. Andrews. I don't know. It was between him and Spieth. I didn't want to take Spieth to win two majors just for mathematical purposes, but that's it.
I'll go next. I'm taking Jordan Spieth for, again, all the reasons that, you know, make sense. Hard golf course, you know, take one of the thoroughbreds.
I'm going to go Tomas Peters.
Really?
Yes.
Why? On what grounds?
He's a thoroughbred, man. I think he gets a little bit nervous in the big moments. He's got enough experience now. He's going to start bucking his head.
PGA Championship, Bellerive. I know nothing about this golf course. Not one single thing.
It's part of the Jones family legacy.
It is?
Yeah, I think.
I thought it was like way old.
I think it had a restoration, right?
Oh, God.
I thought it was a Robert Trent Jones. I could be wrong.
Prepared. We came in prepared.
Yeah.
We've been hanging shit on the wall. We were not researching golf today.
Our producers are letting us down.
That's accurate. I'm going to say Brooks.
Okay.
I think, you know, if it falls in line with kind of the rest of the PGA golf courses, which I feel like it kind of does, it's going to be big and brawny and, you know, a little bit soulless and kind of, I don't know, just...
Is that a metaphor?
Robert Trent Jones.
Is that metaphor?
No, I realized as I said that it sounded like I was knocking Brooks. That's not what I was trying to do. That seems to be the kind of courses he excels at. It's just kind of big and, you know.
I'm going to go a three-way split.
Three people are going to share the trophy?
Three people are going to share the trophy.
Okay.
The greatest player of all time, DJ.
Okay.
The McRib, because he's gonna win one this year. Like I think McRib is.
You're going down from your predicting him to win three last year down to one.
It was a close call.
Yeah. Well, one third of one.
And then Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, we haven't talked Tommy Fleetwood yet.
Okay. John,
I already want to change. Can I change my pick? I want to change my pick. I'm gonna take McRib.
It's also. McRib. Yeah. All right.
Is that who you're taking to?
I'm taking Rahm.
Rahm.
John Rahm.
Man, I forgot about Rahm, too.
There's too many good players.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Rahm's a fourth-ranked player in the world, which is not overrated in the slightest.
Shout out to the Fonz.
All right. I think that covers our only prepared topic at all. We weren't even that prepared for that at all. So are we ready for mailbag?
Guys, I'm just looking at the – can you name for me – what do you think Utah Ikeda is ranked?
Does he play a lot on the European tour? Because that means he's ranked probably pretty high.
I'm trying not to look at your screen.
No, he's like 52nd.
Come on. Better. Higher than that? Shut up.
31st.
35.
Oh, my God. What? Something needs to be done about these rankings.
So it's
a travesty.
He is 35. Peters is 36. Mickelson's 37. Cantlay is 38. I mean, that's crazy.
All right, real quick, we're going to do an exercise here. We have the Century Tournament of Champions here on TV. Some surprising names in the field to me, honestly. I'm going to say a person's name, and you're going to have to tell me how they got into this event. Okay. Actually, I'm not looking at the field list. I'm looking at the prior year winners. So these people might be skipping, but Chris Stroud, how did he get into the Tournament of Champions?
Just hard work, man.
Exemption.
Just grit, yeah. Chris Stroud won. He won like the. Oh my god.
He won like Sanderson Farms.
Oh, that sounds good.
Barracuda.
Okay. All right.
Oh, the Reno. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Stacking Billy Horschel.
I knew this one. We talked about this one. Sorry, this one's all you, Tron. Houston? I didn't get it.
Close. Byron Nelson.
Okay.
Jonas Blixt.
Jonas won the New
Cam.
Orleans.
Yeah. With Cam. Yeah, okay.
You have anything you want to say to Jonas Blixt?
Oh, yeah. I mean, somebody asked if anybody was on the verge of getting a fatwa placed on them. And I'm going to just give a shout out to couple guys in the fantasy league who haven't paid their dues. I won the regular season and the playoffs and 4 weeks of high scores as well. Jonas and Sam, pay up.
The guy that talks about his fantasy team. That was John. That was Memes 81 that sent that question in.
Oh, love memes.
Okay. Russell Henley.
He won.
Did he win
Honda?
God, he wins big tournaments. He wins like kind of like girthy regular tour events.
No, Ricky won Honda, right? He won.
This is so hard.
It's so hard.
Guys, I'm starting to think.
He won Houston. I'm just doing this so we can move on.
I'm starting to think there might be too many tournaments.
There might be. But yeah, seeing Ryan Armour and Brendan Steele and all
that. Ryan Armour won. Sorry. Ryan Armour won Sanderson Farms. I know that.
Okay.
Yeah. For a fact.
All right.
Because I watched a lot of that event. I watched the silly season, man. Oh.
A new year means new gear for some PGA Tour pros, and Callaway Golf is absolutely cleaning house with their new signings for 2018, announcing they have signed Masters champ Sergio Garcia, Rookie of the Year Xander Schauffele, and the Players champ Siwoo Kim, among others. Not listed there, no laying up. I'm not taking that too personally. That's fine. Visit CallawayGolf.com/2018signings for some of Callaway Media Productions' amazing content. This includes a behind-the-scenes video of Sergio's clubs being made. I promise that's worth your time. And that incredible Sergio flipbook that everyone is talking about. There's photo galleries, player stats, podcasts, so make sure you spend a few minutes in there. Again, it's well worth your time. That's CallawayGolf.com/2018signings. For now, let's get back to the podcast. Let's get in all some right, questions. Well,
that was humiliating. That actually lends a lot of credence to our major predictions right there.
Nelson Hunstad wants to know, more likely, Bubba winning a major or club pro guy making a comeback to grab his Mexican tour card? If there's one thing we can learn, you can never count the club pro guy
out.
Yeah,
I think that's fair, but I think the Mexican, you know, it's similar to the PGA Tour in that it's really easy for these guys to keep their card, but once you lose it, it's hard to get it back. You know, you got to fight through kind of that Mexican Q school. You got to fight through kind of
I've got a question.
Navigate all the politics of that whole situation.
This may be more of a
sponsor exemption.
More of
it's
a
hard.
Philosophical question.
Yeah.
Does the Mexican Tour exist anymore?
Did it ever?
I'm sure there was a Mexican Tour.
I'm sure there was.
I don't know if there's Mexican mini tours, though. I think that's the joke.
I'm sure there had to be.
I mean, I don't think it's called the Mexican mini tour, whatever it
calls. Yeah, I don't know what it would be called. It seems like we're wading into treacherous waters here.
Shout out to the Narcos tour, though, this year, the PGA Tour Latino America.
Making some big stops.
Yeah, there's a new event in Tijuana this year.
Oh,
I think it's going to be the Mexican Open.
We should go to that.
I'm 100% planning on going.
When is it?
I think it's going to be in March or April. TK was saying it's kind of between like Guatemala and Honduras or Guatemala. And
I'm not that familiar with Colombia. The schedule, to be honest with you.
I don't even think
traditionally that's where it is.
It's 2018. Just the date would be haven't released the 2018 schedule yet.
That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Philip Johnson wants to know, what is NLU's biggest concern about having Tron representing the brand in a bigger role, and what provisions will be made to limit his shenanigans?
It's more of a question for you guys.
I think on my end, it's just trying to limit handouts. It's trying to limit like too many handouts, where they're coming from, and just kind of, you know, sullying the brand by just getting in bed with everybody.
I'm not crooked.
You're handout Tron.
How many equipment changes?
He's taking handouts from everyone.
How many equipment changes?
That's
are you
the other thing is,
year?
Yeah, worried about him kind of bankrupting the Callaway truck with too many equipment changes.
I need Johnny, shout out Johnny Thompson. He said he was going to get me dialed in once and for all. So
we're going to have like six sets of Tron's old irons on display here in the Kill House.
Based on the Wesley Bryan video, we might need the Callaway to come out with a Tron grind wedge.
Tron grind.
I got that PM grind coming, the one that looks like
looks like the alien
the
wedge.
Crazy wedge, yeah.
All right, Ben.
What do you think? What's your biggest concern?
I think we just got to like find like busy tasks for him to do to keep him like away from Twitter. Like,
well, the problem is I think me stepping away from my hotel revenue management job is I get off conference calls. I'm leading conference calls all day and I get off conference calls and I'm just like, just want to throw something against the wall. So I just let off like this crazy, you know, I'll let off a tweet that's just incendiary just to let off some steam. So there's no more of those conference
calls. It's just unchecked aggression.
It's also the year of rejoicing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, what does that mean? About that.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Feeling it out as I go. Just like fuzzier Tron, but the takes will still be spicy.
Fuzzier. Okay.
I'm not going to take as many unnecessary shots. It's going to be more like targeted drone shots. I'm going to try to limit the civilian casualties.
It's kind of like an optimistic year of accountability, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, 2016 was the year of accountability, and then 2017 turned into the year of accountability, too. So.
All right, well, that's good. We're due for the year of rejoicing.
Yeah.
Ben Bryant, top 3 to 5 non-major events on tour, taking into account how it's run, course, prestige, overall vibe from players.
It was top three to five non-majors.
Okay. And I think we can throw out the WGCs because they don't count. They wouldn't be in that. what we can tell. DJ, you've been around the block a lot more than we have as far as being in person at tournaments and kind of seeing how they're run and whatnot.
So the What's first up one there? That springs to mind is one that I've actually never been to, which is a travesty, but the Travelers, I think, is the one that, like, man, I was so jacked up watching that this year, and it's just, I can think back and, like, name more moments from that tournament over the last couple of years than, you know, I have many of the other ones. Shout out Ken Duke.
Ken Duke won. Bubba berated
Ted
for the first time or first time that
lived on YouTube for like a year.
Kevin Streelman birdie in the last seven.
Yeah, that was right.
Spieth, obviously. To a lesser extent, Spieth
only got to win 52.
Yeah. But like,
I was hungover in my I slept in my car the night before.
So did
that was at the insurance summit, wasn't it?
That was the year before the big insurance summit.
Barstool Tron got involved.
Yeah, I've been the last 2 years, so.
That's like a really trendy tournament right now. Like Rory's going back, I think, this year.
It's so hot right now.
But that's a perfect example of the how great the new rule is, where guys have to add a tournament. And like Rory had to add a tournament. He went to the Travelers, had never been, loved it, and now he's going back. Like, he was kind of blown away by that. Like, that's perfect. Perfect example of why that rule is fantastic.
Other than that, I mean, it's not a surprise, but I think the Players is up there. I mean, that's one that, you know, and I know maybe that
DJ just throwing shade at the tour.
No, maybe this, I was going to say
non-majors.
Maybe this.
Oh no.
The tour, to their credit, they're never saying fifth majors. Everybody else
anymore.
It's everybody else that puts that on them. They never try to do that. I don't know. Maybe this carries more credence now that I don't work at the tour, but I mean, that was one of the things that I think before I started at the tour, I was like never really interested in the Players and always thought it was kind of plastic and kind of, you know, contrived a little bit and stuff. But once I started going to it, you know, moved here and started going to it every year, I mean, it's awesome. Like, I'm so pumped again for it this year, and they've done such a cool job. Like, that's one of the few events, to be totally honest, that I think if you had never been to a golf tournament and you went to that one, I think that's one of the ones you would enjoy the most. Yeah. It's
built for a tournament.
It's built for it. They do such a good job with like all the kind of fan zones and food options and all that kind of stuff.
Muffins and I came down here to visit.
That's literally why you moved here. Yeah. I don't know if you ever told that story, but like, yeah.
I mean, I grew up going to the Memorial, so I was always spoiled by a tournament that had great sight lines, but like, TPC Stadium is built for a tournament so everyone can see it. You never feel congested. You never feel like you're fighting for a view. If you want to see something, you can see it almost at any occasion. So, but yeah, no surprise, I'm going to nominate the Memorial. I mean, it's always been one of the best tournaments, so, and like, Players absolutely love it. It's a smaller field. The Players have always been treated they essentially get treated like royalty, and kind of that tournament was a ringleader in changing the culture a bit on tour as to how tournaments were run and how players were treated, how caddies were treated, courtesy cars and things like that. They were a huge leader in that. So Players are always quick to nominate that one, and the field represents that one.
I think the other one I would say, which I had never been to until this year, but the Heritage was awesome. I know you've been to it more times than I have, and you can probably speak to it more, but
it's like everybody's just got it dialed back a couple notches.
Yeah, it's a good frequency.
It's really, really chill. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a throwback course on tour, and everybody, you know, it always gets a pretty solid field. The RBC Mafia comes out in full support. But yeah, I would say, mine are going to be Heritage, Travelers. I'm a big fan of the Valspar.
Yeah.
I think like it's
the rest of Tampa just tough, sucks so hard.
It's a
hard.
Tough spot on the schedule, especially with the WGC in Mexico now, and then with going to Austin for the match play, and it's like it's
that
really.
One might, if talking of WGCs, that one might be up there.
Mexico?
No, the match play is so cool at Austin Country.
Hmm. Yeah, I want to get there. So. I want to get to the Mexico event. That was lit last year.
Awesome. That was wild.
That was awesome.
But yeah, I think that one Valspar is just a solid course. And you know, I mean, that tournament was almost, I think the first year or second year they had it was like right after 9/11. Like, it almost went away almost immediately. And then they've kind of slowly built it up. They use their exemptions well. That's another thing for me. If you use exemptions well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like the John Deere, the Travelers, the Heritage, all those use their exemptions well. So,
yeah, the Heritage is a good example of, I don't know. I don't want to trigger anybody in the room, but it kind of reminds me of Firestone a little bit in that when you watch it on TV, it just looks so boring and kind of characterless. And I think the Heritage kind of has a little bit of that too. Like when you, a lot of the holes seem to run together when you watch them on TV and stuff. But when you're actually there watching guys hit shots and shape shots and think on the tee, that's kind of the opposite of Firestone. But when you watch them, you know, just thinking about what club to hit, like how long did you, me and Randy sit on
19.
On the ninth tee, yeah. Just watching guys like choose what club to hit. I mean, it's awesome. It's
they're
so
shaping
fun.
It both ways.
Yeah.
They're
what hitting. Did Charles Howell hit? Seven iron.
We didn't seven even realize it. Yeah. And then he comes up to us after the round and apologizes.
I was going to say Firestone. Like the players really seem to love Firestone, and it is like a really well-run event. Yeah. But I know we kind of threw out WGCs and whatnot. But BMW last year, again, I've not been to a ton of events, but
BMW awesome.
Was fantastic.
So
I mean,
yeah.
Just such clean appearance of everything. Totally. Like it's just, it's in, everything runs really smoothly. It's run by the Western Golf Association.
Yeah. And you can tell the courses that do a really good job, or the tournaments that move to different sites and just bring the heat every time,
right,
is, you know, the best.
They got to be on it too.
It's the best indicator of like the tournament organizers, obviously. Yep. And BMW, I mean, I went to it at Conway Farms twice. I've been to it at Crooked Stick. I've been to it at Cherry Hills. And every year, I mean, it's awesome. It's like,
they pick good courses.
The presentation's always so good with like, I think the white just looks so cool.
Yeah.
Maybe because it looks like a Euro Tour event and it just feels different and kind of exotic.
Can I vent a little bit?
God, I would love that. Please.
I think the PGA Tour needs to show the Midwest and the upper Midwest in particular some love.
Dude,
you know,
agree. I mean, there's got to be reasons that they don't. Like,
I think there's
I
think they're trying to get back there, but like, there's a Web Tour event in Sioux City this year. There's a new Champions Tour event in Detroit. But like,
so pumped about that.
Yeah. Like, so allegedly, and this is all published material, I think. But like, Big Cats tournament doesn't have a sponsor this year, like unless Quicken says they're not going to sponsor it unless they move it to Detroit, which is where they're headquartered.
Yeah.
And Big Cat wants to leave it. It still doesn't have a host venue. It's not going to be a congressional. It still doesn't have a host venue.
They don't have a course for this year?
They don't have a course for this year. They don't have a sponsor or a course. And it's like, guys, just move the tournament to Detroit. People would come out and support it. It'd be sick.
That would be awesome. So, it is weird. I'm looking at the schedule,
like Minnesota,
right now.
Minnesota,
it is really weird. To look.
What's it say? The National?
Like, it says the National. And so like each one has like, Travelers Championship, TPC River Highlands, Cromwell, Connecticut, and then like a little bullet and then purse.
And then you go to the website.
It just says the National, like, with just the bullet point.
It says like, plan your visit, like, you know, plane tickets, accommodations. Like, and you click on them and you're like, what? All right, what are we doing?
Where
here?
Are we flying?
But like, think about it. I mean, Minnesota, Wisconsin, like when they had the Solheim Cup in Des Moines a couple years ago.
I was
going to
say,
like,
Iowa,
That was electric.
Yeah.
You know, those people love golf up there. It may be a short season, but like.
I mean, Canada's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest too. There's no tournaments up there.
You can have one up there in July. Like in Michigan. Yeah, that's plenty of time to grow in, of course.
I mean, that Warwick Hills event, the Buick, I don't know, one of the nine Buick tournaments.
For real,
Like, Big Cat always used to play in that, and that got pretty lit.
It was so cool.
Get Buick back in the game.
Did Bob Seger play in the Pro-Am and stuff? Oh, it was awesome.
Isaiah Thomas.
No, I agree. I mean, there's got to be a reason that it doesn't happen. Like, I don't think it's just, you know, it's not just like a blind spot.
They haven't forgotten about it.
Yeah, it's just.
I think Big Cat wants to, like, he's married to D.C. because he wants to honor the military.
Yeah.
It's like,
thank
you
for your service.
Yeah.
You can honor the military in Michigan, too.
There's military everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. There's kill houses everywhere,
there's
too.
There's kill houses everywhere, man. Totally. I don't know. God, I hope. I didn't realize that about Quicken. That's a good kind of. That's a good beacon of hope. Maybe, because I know they were trying to push that. Remember when they wanted to do the Ricky and Rory exhibition?
Yeah, they got canceled.
That I think that was going to be in Detroit. Like, it's no lack of trying. Like, they're trying to get it there. It's just, I mean, these, you know, whatever. We've all seen how these things work. I mean, they're big-ass operations, and there's a lot that goes into it. So, I don't know. Hopefully they're.
By the way, I looked up if there's like a. I just Googled Mexican mini tour golf. Six of the first seven hits on Google are club pro guy. And then there's one hit that says PGA to Mexico. And then there's a big picture of the shrimp on the front
really?
Page of that. Yeah.
I should.
Are we going to see the shrimp on the web tour next year?
We are. Yeah, I guess
you guys. Have you explained the shrimp? I know this is kind of a. It's something that you definitely talk about on Twitter a lot. I don't know.
Kind of a passion.
I would love to bring it to the masses and get people following the story.
Shrimp.
The scrimp.
Yeah. So TK Kelly on the PGA Tour Latino America tipped me off this past year, and I wanted to go down to an event. I couldn't make it happen, but the shrimp, aka Jose de Jesus Rodriguez, aka El Camarón, which is shrimp in Spanish, is a he's kind of a mini tour legend down there. But I guess he got deported from the States when he was in his teenage years, or you know, just out of high school, and he ended up getting deported. Ends up coming back, ends up playing the web tour. He won Los Cinco last year by like, I don't know, $50,000, which is like twice as much as the next guy made.
It's like what Ted Potter used to do, the Hooters.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, but I guess he's qualified a couple times, but he hasn't been able to come back because he hasn't legally been allowed to come back into the country.
Extreme vetting.
Yeah, yeah. So allegedly they got everything worked out, and he's graduating to the web tour this year, beyond just the web tour, you know, Latin American stops.
Man.
So I'm pumped.
What a saga.
I'm pumped.
All right. El Scrimp.
All right. Scott McLean, when are the Saucies coming?
Sully?
I think the Saucies are canceled. The Saucies are no longer.
Christmas is canceled.
Yeah, Christmas is canceled this year. It's a gray area, I guess you could say.
Look, we'd love to do it, but my boss.
Yeah. I don't even think it's gray.
It's not that gray.
Yeah, it's not gray.
Basically, it would be accumulating a bunch of videos that we don't necessarily have the rights to into one place, which is not the best look from what I gather.
The spirit of the law says we have the rights, but the
letter of the law.
It's more about the letter of the law.
Yes. So, yeah, that's why there's no Saucies. There's apparently actually people paying attention now, so... we can't necessarily just throw a bunch of clips into one post. So,
speaking of
rest in peace, Saucies.
We got the TV on behind. Brian Harman is sponsored by an actual company that's just called Megacorp, which seems like
it looks like an EA Sports character that's yeah. just starting out. Like that's the first sponsor you get.
It's a Megacorp. Good illustration of late stage capitalism.
People have been tagging me lately on Twitter. There's a cryptocurrency called Tron.
Really?
Yeah. Weeby's been tagging me in that all the time. He's like, yo, Tron's up like 2,000% in the
There's
last
that,
30 days.
There's that conglomerate that owns all the newspapers called Tronk also. Maybe we could work that in.
Luke Smith wants to know what travel plans are on deck for 2018. Are particular U.S.-based courses on the list?
Yes, but we'd have to kill you if we told you.
Yeah. It's a hard one to answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some... well, let's back up here, and Solly, maybe you take this one. Talk through why we're in Australia.
Yeah,
what's coming from that?
All right,
and I think that kind of leads us into.
Okay, I mean, this is kind of your baby, but I'll do it. But so yeah, we spent we're coming out with a video series that we're calling Tourist Sauce. We spent season one is going to be the recent trip we just made to Australia and New Zealand, and it's going to be somewhere between 6 to 8 episodes. We're unsure. We have the footage. We haven't edited yet.
Yeah.
Deep in the process.
Deep in the process. So the goal is to kind of create a travel series that is not like necessarily what to do, how to do it necessarily, but it's more of an entertaining base. You can describe it better than
I
can.
No, I think that's on the right track. I mean, I think, you know, there's a limited amount of golf travel stuff. I think doing this golf travel stuff is expensive. I mean, it's expensive to take crews around. It's expensive to travel and do all this stuff. So I think a lot of the time it ends up becoming kind of infomercial-y, which is kind of the opposite of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to, you know, get it to a point where we're paying our own way. We're kind of bootstrapping it as much as we can. We're lucky in Australia to have a lot of support from a lot of the members down there who are helping us out, and met a ton of fantastic people. And, you know, the hope is we can do something similar here in the States as well. We've got a couple more seasons planned. We don't necessarily, I don't think want to share them at the moment because I think they're kind of unorthodox. And, you know, I think we got some cool ideas that we want to do that we don't necessarily want to scoop ourselves on. But other than, yeah, so Tourist Sauce is the big one. And then I think, other stuff, you know, and you guys jump in here too, but
well, I think
other stuff the, like what we did at Stream Song is
yeah
is I think a huge part of what we want to do in 2018, where it's let's go in and let's just like showcase, you know, let's not go in and tweet a photo from these places, like let's go in and
bring it to life
and figure out what the background of this place is and what's the history here and yeah. what else can you do there and like all of that stuff. And so I mean, I think there's a lot of those places that are on the list that wouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, I'd love to do one of those at Bandon and Pinehurst and Sand Valley and, you know, even more, you know, way under the radar places that people have never heard of. But
yeah, we've got like a big slush fund as far as just stuff that we want to shine a light on and kind of celebrate it.
Yeah. And I think not to sound cheesy, hopefully, but I mean, if there are places that people listening to this want to see, like, let us know.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole point is, you know, what would you need to kind of make a decision on where to go for a golf trip? And that's kind of hopefully the hole we're trying to fill a little bit.
Or, you know, even, I mean, like one of my little pet projects for this year is looking at different, just kind of uncovering old Florida. So you've got places like Palatka or Mission Inn or like, you know, there's just
Hyde Park.
Yeah, Hyde Park. Like there's so many just scruffy old courses with good bones around here.
Kapalua.
Same thing up in New England. Right. And you know, but I think whether it's a glitzy resort or a, you know, or a nice private club or the shittiest municipal course, like as far as conditioning goes, I think they all have value and we want to kind of celebrate what's right with them, and then, you know, give people a reason to care about them too.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do a lot of different stuff in 2018. I mean, that's, and a lot of people have been asking about the frequency of this podcast lately, but there's been a lot of other things on our plate. We do a lot of things other than just this podcast, and the Australia stuff is a lot of work, and there's going to be some other good stuff coming down the pipeline, I promise.
And I think frankly, like, I don't know what your guys' thoughts on it are, but I think it's been good to just kind of disappear for a little while and get our shit together and kind of like, you know, the golf hasn't been crazy entertaining.
Right.
I don't really feel like I've missed all the off season by not tuning in, but it was fun. Like, it was fun to come to the Kill House tonight and be like, wow, I'm ready to like watch golf.
It's
like,
back.
I haven't watched golf in months.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just haven't. And it's nice to step away and
the fact that
kind of come back a little refreshed and like, ready to,
I think the second or third week of the quote unquote off season, there was two tournaments in the same week.
That was amazing.
Right.
That's my favorite week of the year. People are so fatigued with golf, and there's two events in the same week.
Yeah,
it's the best. But I just ask that people have just have a little bit of faith. Like we're working on a lot of stuff here around
faith
the clock,
and also have, you know, the energy and the excitement to tell us what you want to see.
Yeah,
like, you know,
and be creative.
It,
I mean,
it really helps.
Tour, LPGA, yeah. Euro Tour. You know, Champions Tour, amateur golf, mid amateur golf, all that stuff. I mean, it all has a place. So we love all of it.
Yeah.
We could legitimately get to every single one of those this year in some capacity. That's the goal. So, Grant Gates wants to know, what does the Pro-Am tour schedule look like for 2018? We're going to sit down as a team and, schedule it out. I think, you know, last year was a bit of fatigue there at the end of the year with, you know, maybe try to do too much, try to do too many pro-ams.
It was a little bit backloaded.
It reflected in my play, really. So going to space it out a little bit better and hope for a better year in 2018.
That's great. I think that's really smart. I didn't think you going to Singapore was a good idea. you could tell you were just low energy, Jeb, by the time you got back.
It was literally the same deal as when Spieth went over a couple years ago.
I just couldn't do it.
We just roasted his representatives.
Chad Feltz wants to know if the franchise is coming out of retirement to loop for me on the PGA Tour Pro-Am circuit in 18.
Better you than me. Yeah,
he can't do it.
I don't know if he'll be looping for me.
If you guys haven't, go listen to the franchise's episode of the Trap Draw podcast, because that's my favorite Trap Draw.
My goal, by the way, is I would love to get both of you guys in a Pro-Am. At some point, I would love to get both of you guys in the same Pro-Am and just be able to like
roast each other.
Well, roast each other, but also just make people choose sides.
Oh, I like that idea.
Just Team Tron, Team Solly. Like, who's?
Will you double bag it? Will you carry both of us?
Yeah,
and work the camera. Super producer.
Yeah.
Charlie,
you gotta give me shots though.
How many shots do you want?
A lot.
I'm a three. You're like a five. I'll give you two.
No, I'm like a 8 now.
No, you're not.
Yeah, dude.
He's atrophied.
I'm,
the West video the roast, was not the West video was not good.
My
for
confidence is shot, dude. Yeah.
No, you looked good. Charlie Kilgore, are you clowns going to be hitting most of the regular tournaments? What is our travel schedule for this year for tournaments?
I would say, I mean,
no.
Yeah, I would say definitely. It's going to be a big John McCain thumbs down on that one. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. I'm big on just picking our spots. I mean, yeah. I think
there's a balance to strike.
There is, and it's you know, a lot of people probably can't either don't realize or haven't thought about it this way, but it's there's so many people on site these days all trying to do the same things that so many times it seems ass backwards, but I mean there's so many times where it's easier to cover an event when you're sitting on the couch and you're making jokes here and, you know, noticing things together and talking about, you know, he's missed right a lot today. Like, that's weird, you know, and you just start thinking about things that way rather than trying to fight for position on site or fight. Like, it's so useful to go early week and talk to guys and, you know, kind of do the interview stuff and the news gathering stuff. But once the tournament starts, like, it's just a weird reality that it's hard to,
it's luck. Like, you got to pick the right guys to follow. Yeah, if you pick the wrong guy, like, you just missed out on a day.
For sure. And I mean, that's what you'll see. Like, if there's a, you know, if there's a crowded leaderboard on Sunday afternoon, you know, most of the writers are inside watching in the media center. It's not a slight on them by any means. It's just,
they need to, they need to be.
Yeah. Otherwise you don't know what the hell's going on. And it's just,
I think we lean more towards like the golf fan side. Like when I'm there, I can't sit in the media center and watch it. Like I have to go watch the golf. Like otherwise what's the point in really going? But no, I think, I mean, yeah, we kind of started out from the very beginning, always just being guys that watched on TV and made commentary along with what people are watching.
I mean, this is the first time like, I'll be able to watch golf with you since college almost on a regular, like in the same room on a regular basis.
Legitimately.
That's kind of how all this
first
started.
First time we've been in the same
PGA
location.
And the Uncle Juice joke. Yeah. probably the best tweet of 2017.
But I mean, at the same time, going to tournaments, you learn so much more. Like getting to watch, like, sure. You just kind of, it's not like during that immediate week, you may not be a better reporter. I don't want to use the word reporter, but an analyst of any kind, but like, you build up like
fanalist.
This, yeah, fanalist. You build up this kind of knowledge base that you can draw back on, right? Cool. Like watching, I don't know, I've watched Rory play maybe 100 holes of golf this year. And like you just learn kind of how he does things and watch the ball flight and get to see things that you don't see
and
on
TV.
Yeah, I mean,
sitting and answering questions about which tournaments, you know, have the best vibe. Like you obviously don't know that unless you go to the tournament. So,
well, and just the guys, I mean, for all, and this isn't a slight on the TV guys. I mean, we'll get to that later in the year, I'm sure. But like, you know, once there's a leaderboard kind of developed, they only show 8 to 10 guys. And, you know, if you want to learn about some of the new guys out on tour, you got to get out there
for
and
sure.
watch them yourself.
I mean, that's going back to being at Heritage. Like that's, we've said that, you know, a million times, both here and everywhere else, that the best thing you can possibly do if you're a hardcore golf fan, if you listen to this podcast, you know, odds are you probably are. There's nothing more fun than just going and following one dude for 18 holes and
go out on like a Friday
watching
morning.
him just build around
front row seat. If you choose a guy that is not DJ speech of that group, you can have a front row seat to every shot, really.
Or like on a Saturday morning, go out and follow. Let's say you want to follow a bigger name player, go out and first thing on Saturday morning for somebody that just sneaks into the cut line.
Yeah.
You tell stories from following Pat Perez like 15 years ago. Like,
that's fantastic. Yeah.
So I guess the very long winded answer to that question is hopefully
Big Leash just took the lead. Six deep now.
The long winded answer is I think that, you know, we just gotta pick our spots and figure out. Honestly, I don't think it's that different than the players must play different events every 5 years kind of rule. My goal at least, I think, is to try to get to as many tournaments I've never been to as I can. You know, I don't have a ton of interest in going to Bay Hill for the 7th time.
Right.
You know, or I don't, you know.
We're going to go to a European Tour event here in the very near future, and we are going to go to an LPGA event here this summer, and we're going to do a lot of different stuff in that regard. So.
But again, if there's stuff that, you know, people are, you know, there's a critical mass of people that are curious about what's this like on site, what's this like off site. Like, that's the other thing, too, is I think so many of these, you know, so many of these tournaments are interesting when you start thinking about them in kind of like a how do you go have a fun weekend sort of capacity. And so it's like, you know, we've talked about just going to events and maybe going to the event for a day and then having kind of like a, you know, fan meetup sounds weird, but, you know, just kind of like listeners and followers and stuff, like, let's all go meet at a bar somewhere and
community.
Yeah. And trying to figure out kind of what the right cities for those kinds of things are too, I think is stuff that would be good to have some feedback from people on.
We were thinking New York.
The US Open in New York would be so fun.
During or kind of earlier in the week for New York during Shinny.
But that's another one where it's like, man, like you couldn't, I have zero interest in going to try to fight crowds and watch that one on site. Like, let's kick our feet up and watch it on TV.
Well, so, they do such a good job of covering
the news. That's what I was going to say is Fox, like that's why we harp on so much like about the importance of television coverage. It's like that to me right there. It's like, we can watch the US Open on TV because Fox shows so much live golf. Yeah. Like at the and unnamed other broadcast companies don't necessarily, like you're at their mercy to for whatever storyline.
Sally, this is the year of rejoicing.
That's right. Let's talk about who does a good
job. I said unnamed.
We're gonna give them a chance. We're gonna give them a shot to see what they come back with this year.
Yeah,
new year, new me.
Yeah.
We will give them a shot.
Giving them the benefit of the doubt, and then once they betray that benefit of the doubt,
we know what's coming.
They're gonna get demolished.
We know what's coming. All right, Lions analysis. This is a lengthy one. He's taking advantage of the 280 rule. Driving distance has increased by about 30 yards on average since the Pro V. That's around 300 yards extra distance. Aren't courses 300 yards longer now than they were in 2000? Also, why is distance the only variable discussed when we talk about lower scores now? I flagged this one because I think this is kind of, not to pick on Mr. Lyons' analysis, that it's kind of flawed logic, and I talked about it some with Michael Clayton on the last podcast, where the discussion on technology kind of gets lost in that it's not as simple as making a course longer to address the ball going further, right? Because like I think Andy tweeted this a couple months ago, like a 520 yard hole now for like somebody like DJ is like driver 8 iron, whatever it is. I mean, because you can hit it 340 and then 8 iron. If you reduce it by 10%. Reduce the ball by 10%, that becomes like a driver 4 iron hole for him. And just how different bunkers come into play, you know, the way courses were designed, like when you guys played the Hickory Clubs at Royal Melbourne, like bunkers came into play with that old equipment that didn't come into play with the modern equipment, and how it just feels like cheating hitting it over all this stuff. So I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion this year on technology. It's not going to go away. And I really love the momentum that's kind of going on this conversation right now, but I think it's important to kind of keep it guided and keep it focused on, like, it's not about low scores. It's not about par.
That's what I was going
to
say, is I don't know if that's what people are fired up about. Is
no.
It? I don't.
I hear that a lot, though. It's like, well, all right, if they're going to hit it 300 yards, let's just make the fairways narrower and grow the rough.
Right.
It's like, no, that's the wrong logic. Like, the logic should be, like, the combination, all the equipment, should it go that far? That's the focus point, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one. I don't know if I'm totally following the entire question.
I think
he's just saying like the ball, the courses
he's
have gotten longer.
He's basically saying the courses have accommodated longer hitters.
Yeah,
I think
just chalking it up to the ball being.
Yeah, I think I very 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 much could be wrong on this, and apologies if I'm being naive, but I think kind of what you're saying, Sally, is that the ball doesn't increase. It increases exponentially, right? So
yeah,
it's not necessarily that, you know, it is. It's going 10% further. It's not going 10 yards further. And so just adding more length isn't, like, the more length you add, the more advantage you give to the bombers,
mm-hmm.
basically. And it's just like this self-defeating cycle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when they tried to, you know, Andy Johnson talks about this all the time. Like when they try to tiger-proof courses, you know, and make them longer and more dependent on hitting it long and straight, like, guess what? The longest, straightest driver is probably going to win more. And so the whole thing just seems so
backwards. Well, I'll disagree with you there, though. There's less impetus on hitting it straight, though, too. Because
now there is.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like
I'm
the longest, straightest driver, because if you have a wedge in your hand out of,
for sure,
you know, decent rough, you still have an advantage over somebody out
totally
of the fairway
agree.
Hitting a 6 iron.
I think the problem with, and I think kind of what his question is either missing or not getting at, is, you know, with it in, with distance kind of increasing exponentially, it's just squeezing out the guys in the middle and on the bottom. And so that's the problem. And, you know, also that obviously goes with all the points that people beat to death, which is, you know, we're just matter-of-factly like we're going to run out of land to keep lengthening these things and all of those, the water issues and the all those problems, the time, you know, rounds take issues, all that. So I don't know. It's
my thing is
I thought about it so much and more, I don't even know where my stance is anymore.
It's not just the distance that the golf ball goes, right? It's how freaking straight the ball goes. Like you can't shape it anymore. You don't need to shape it anymore. And there's and going hand in hand with that is the way that a lot of the courses in this country almost increasingly play in certain areas is it's through the air.
Yeah.
You know, it's defeated the element of, I mean, there's so many courses over in the UK or down in Australia or, you know, I mean, sure, I'm sure all over the world, I'm sure even in, really even in places in the States where you don't want to be 340 yards down that certain line. You want to be 260 yards up there to have a certain angle. And I think that's what's kind of gotten lost in translation too.
That's why I'm the big event that is circled on my imaginary cliche calendar right now is
Trinity Forest.
Yeah. Because I've already heard whispers from a couple tour guys who are like, oh man, that place is so gimmicky. It's so stupid. I think guys are going to hate it. I'm like, I know. Perfect. That's why I love it.
I want to see guys.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, I want to see Baum and Gallagher get punched in the face.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know. It's just, it's so hard. I forget who wrote, I think Jaime wrote the piece about, I forget what hole it was.
It was 12 at TPC.
You're talking about, yeah. And he was talking about kind of the uphill battle that architects are facing now.
Oh, with that bunker?
Yeah, where it's like, you know, when we try to influence strategic design, everybody, it's kind of like the loud, dumb voice in the room just says, this is unfair and stupid, and I'm just going to hit it over here. And like that is kind of, I don't know, it's a really weird thing where it's like, you know, the tour can do everything it can to try to put these guys on these strategic golf courses, but if all of them come off and say, this is stupid, this is stupid, this is stupid, like who are fans going to believe?
Right.
You know, are they going to believe
the tour is people on this players. Podcast,
or are they going to believe people, you know,
yep.
which you... It's just, it's a weird situation.
But what you said, Tron, like going back to being like fast and firm conditions, defining things like is like golf, like after as much golf as I played in the UK this year, it kind of ruined me for like aerial golf.
No big deal.
That's no big deal. It ruined me for like going, I didn't want to come back and like hit wedges and land them next to pins anymore. I wanted to aim off the green to use a slope to bring it in there. Like that's just, golf is infinitely more interesting when it's like fast and firm, and you gotta worry about a ball going too far. Like, how often does DJ have to worry about a ball going too far on the tour? No, he grabs driver and just cranks it. Like Royal Birkdale, like dudes had hit irons on 500 yard par four sometimes because you got to worry about it going rolling out too far to a certain bunker.
Well, I like the fact too that, you know, it goes hand in hand with everybody talks about the resource constraints, either land or, you know, water. Well, you know what? If you want your course to play firm and fast, you know, ideally you have sandy soil, but also just water it less.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
But then it's brown, and that's a bad thing.
Like that was supposedly. Like last year. You know, I remember watching. It was so dry out in Reno, and they were playing the Reno Tahoe Open, and they just watered the shit out of the course. It was like, guys, come on, man! Yeah. Like, you know, let the course play as it. You know, as it is, as it should be.
It depends. A lot of it depends on the soil type, though, too.
That's the thing. I think about like where I grew up in kind of central and north Illinois, and it's, I don't know. I mean, as soon as those courses get like, you know, quote unquote firm and fast, if they're not built in the right spot yet, they just die.
Yeah. it's not. Yeah.
It's but it's hard. I don't know.
All right, Alistair. It is a great question, Alistair Allen. Best course you played in 2017. You can do like a top five if you want.
Top no, you want to do top five.
I don't want to trim it down to five.
Let's do top 50. I mean, the old course, that shouldn't count though. That's in its own category.
No, it counts. It's the best course.
The old course for sure.
Then why?
I mean, I was talking to somebody, it might have been one of you guys the other day, about basically everything we just got done talking about, which is I've never walked off a golf course having hit it so well, no big deal. And scored so poorly and just been so like confused and enthralled and had so much fun doing it. Like, I don't, I granted the fairways are very wide and stuff, but I've never driven the ball like I had. I drove it correct sides of the fairways, shaped it the right way. I was doing everything right. And I shot like 81 or 82 or something. Like, it was awful. Like, how I could not have put myself in better position to score on every hole. And I just got punched in the mouth because I just kept missing in the wrong spots of the greens. And, like, I mean, it was just so fun. And then once you miss in the wrong spots of the greens, then you're, you know, then you're three putting or four putting or five putting, or you're chipping to the wrong spot or you're whatever. It was like the holes where I missed it in the right spot, or, you know, hit it close or whatever. Obviously I did well, but it was just such a perfect example of being rewarded for being in the right spots and doing the right things and thinking. And I mean, it's just so much fun to be able to do that.
Did you walk off and want to be like right back out there? Like, 100%. Oh, I could do it again. I could do it so much better.
I mean, it was so, and obviously the vibe of the place is, I mean,
it's out of control,
literally as good as it gets. I mean, you're going around. It's like when you're standing on 17 and you realize, like, oh shit, like the hotel is totally in play.
No, absolutely.
Like, it's not a gimmick. Like, it's very much in play. And, you know, there's that. I chunked, like, I played 18. I'm only doing this because this is a hole that everybody knows. I don't usually go shot by shot, but, like, hit the fairway. I had, like, I didn't hit it far, but I had probably 60, 70 yards in. And chunked the shit out of my second shot. Just, like, laid the sod over it, like, dribbled it up. And had probably like 30 yards, I'd say, to the pin. And was no way I was going to hit two wedges like that back to back. And so I ended up putting it from the middle of the fairway. Rolled up, takes all the slope. You don't realize like how much, until you play it, you don't realize how much that 18th green slopes from right to left and how hard it slopes. And I ended up lagging it to like a foot from like 30 yards in the middle of the fairway. And there's one dude just standing like up in the corner on the white railing who's just, yeah! And like that is like, so, I don't know. It's just something that doesn't happen anywhere else. It's so awesome.
Tron, best course played in 2017?
It's tough to beat any of those Australia ones, but I would say Fisher's Island. That was a day. We had a great weather day. It was Zach and Andy from Fried Egg and Anthony Piopi. And man, we had a day. And I beat Andy that day.
Straight up?
Straight up.
Elite. I thought he was an elite amateur.
I did too. but yeah, that, I mean, the just Rainer. Alps.
Yeah, what was the Rainer man like that day?
DB. Best nickname of all time.
He was in like a diabetic coma. but yeah, I mean, just the whole experience. You take a boat over. The boat drops you on like the 17th or like 17th tee or 18th tee, and then, you know, from there you just kind of, it's like the greenskeeper walked up on the first tee, tells us, he apologizes to us for the course being so green. Because they'd gotten a lot of rain lately, and they don't have,
it's totally his fault,
much irrigation. And they want it and like it to play firm and fast, and it just wasn't firm enough for his tastes.
That's awesome.
So,
I'm gonna go with I'm gonna do it. Tar 80.
Yeah.
Tar 80. I was willing to say Tar 80 before I even played the course.
DJ's a man of the people. You guys are going ultra private.
Hey, mine was part of the Blair Wish project.
That's true.
And there'll be more to come on this one, but it was just like, it was the combination of the vibe, the setting, and the actual golf course it just spoke to me in a way that a golf course really hasn't ever done before. Like, it was just, you never stop hearing the ocean, like, ever. The entire round you hear the ocean. And you just, it's a ultra private, super exclusive, like extremely wealthy club. Like, I drove a very nice BMW to the course and felt kind of sheepish about it because there were four helicopters parked around the putting green. Yet the vibe is like a boys club. Like, you want to play a six-some, go play a six-some. You want to grab a cocktail and go hit six iron, punch six irons from 70 yards into punch bowls and go mess around. Go ahead. Like, that's what we did before we even played. And so I kind of fell in love with the place before we even played it. And then you go play it. It's Tom Doak course in the most unbelievable setting you can imagine, that, you know, kind of the all the shots you want to play up slopes to get like to get to pins and stuff. Like you can all the punch shots you can play into these slopes. It was exhilarating. It was amazing, and that was the one that kind of spoke to me the most. So Old Course was like probably my number two for the year, but I'd played the Old Course before, and I experienced it this summer better than I ever had before, but that was the biggest shock of the year.
What was the biggest, like most pleasant surprise course of the year?
Ooh, that's a good question. West Lancashire?
Yes, unequivocally yes.
Like it was, so, I don't know why, like,
that or for me that or like Lost Farm, Barnboogle. Like I thought I was gonna love Barnboogle Dunes, and then I hadn't heard all that much about Lost Farm. I thought Lost Farm was like insane. I didn't really
West Lancashire. You and I had never heard of West before Lanks, we played it.
Yeah, but like everybody before was like, man, like you guys are really gonna like West Lancs. That's like a little under the radar gem. Like yeah, there was especially that just those first four or five holes was just like the best way to kick off that trip.
That's a great, I love that golf course. And then second, I got to play it again this summer, and like it holds up. I played a couple courses where the first time you play it, it's amazing. Then you go back and it's kind of like, okay, maybe I got a little too excited. That was not the case with that one, but you won't find it on any top 100 list. It doesn't even make Doak's confidential guide, which I could not, like I had to like flip back a couple of times. I couldn't believe that it wasn't listed in there. You?
I think mine was, man, I'm trying to think.
Palatka?
No, I lost my ass at Palatka. Bad vibes. I played, there was a 9-hole in Indiana that I played with Andy Johnson at Culver Academies, which is this Langford Moreau golf course that's at this like ultra private prep school that, I mean, all these like diplomats kids go to, and they have this incredible 9-hole golf course. It was so fun. And that was an awesome one. Friend of the pod, Jay Rigdon, actually lives like right on the, like the second hole or something. And, right nearby. So we played with him. That was a pretty fun day.
Michael Fuselli, the, superintendent's also.
Great guy. He was out there walking a couple holes with us. Yeah. He was awesome. That one was up there.
All right, a couple more here. We're going on an hour. All right, RJ Tappist, who is out there that may be breaking out like Schauffele on the PGA Tour or Fleetwood on the Euro Tour? Oof. I mean, it's not even like it's beyond trendy to say Cantlay at this point, right? Like,
yeah, I don't think it qualifies. He's disqualified.
He doesn't qualify.
Yeah. Man, I'm gonna have to get back into the research department.
My instinct on the Euro Tour is a guy that I saw play like three holes in a practice round at the PGA Championship, Jordan Smith.
Yeah.
Like the dude, the ball sounds, and I hate that cliche, but the ball sounds different off his club face. He's kind of a shorter dude, but that guy absolutely flushes it. I'm not a talent projector, but I saw a shitload of potential out of him.
There's a guy.
That's just like my trendy Euro Tour pick for the year.
Projector.
I'm not.
Oh my gosh.
That's what you pride yourself on.
I'm never right.
That's true. You're loud though.
Yeah. But I am right. I'll
let you
know.
That doesn't mean you don't do it though. Yeah.
I'm not like good at it.
Yeah.
There's a dude, Julian Suri, that just won on the European Tour, lives here in Ponte Vedra. He and I go to the same barber. My barber was talking him up, and I started to dig back in. I think he's a Duke guy. Just won recently. I could see him make a little noise. He's up to, like, I think he's, like, top 70 in the world or somewhere up there.
I'm going to say, I mean, he won last year on the tour, so I don't know if this totally counts, but I'm going to say Patton Kizzire.
Yeah. Your boy Chesson's been bringing some noise, too.
He's consistent, plays well. I mean, he resurrected his career, you know, so...
All right, last question. Save this one for last. This may be the best one. I've heard this asked before, but Chad Douglas, if each of you could ask Big Cat one question, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. You've been thinking about it. What would you?
I would ask, I don't know exactly how to ask it, but I would ask if you can go back and change any one thing you did. You can only change one decision you made. What would you change?
Yeah.
In your whole life.
Gosh. Man, this is like, we should do a whole podcast about this question.
I know what I'd ask him.
What do you got?
Yo, dude, you mind if I have a sugar-free popsicle?
I knew when I saw that grin on your face that we were not getting what we wanted.
I don't know. I mean, I think I would just... I don't know the right way to frame it, but I would... I wish you could get an honest, like a really, really, really honest, candid answer on whether he enjoys playing golf at this point. I mean, I feel like
he's kind of answered that over the last, I don't know, 3 months or so, though. Like, I don't think, if he really didn't enjoy playing golf, he would have.
I don't think he would. I don't think he would walk away. I don't know. We're not in the business of being psychologists here.
Or tried with the same veracity to get back.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I feel like he's actually working.
He had his spine fused.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't know. It blows my mind, maybe because I don't have any ambition, even close to what he has. But I just can't express your sponsorship things. And like the thing with Monster Energy drinks is a good example of like, man, what are we doing here? Like, is this what you want to be doing? Like, this seems so weird to me. I don't know. That's a horrible answer. That leaves way more questions than answers, but I don't know.
Also,
I don't know. That's a too big of a question. I'm going to have to think about that one.
I want to change my answer from earlier. I'm going to go with Kiradak Apibonrat.
For your bust out? Yeah. I thought that's what you were going to ask Tiger.
He's going to crush this year. He got married last year. Just vaping his... face off.
All right, let's wrap it on Kiradek vaping his face off. First Kill House pod in the books. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for the questions, and we'll be back next week.
Crack on.
Cheerio. All right, we're gonna do something different on these pods for this year, our little discussion pods. We're gonna leave you guys with a question, DJ.
I think we should go to that last one. I think that was the best question we've gotten. You're right. Yeah, I think I've seen that a couple times, but I never get tired of the answers. So I think if you made it this far in the podcast, tweet at, you know, one or all of us. What's the one question you would ask Tiger? I think that's great. I'm very curious to hear and think about and laugh about all of your answers.
Specific question.
One specific question.
Can't just be like, oh, Tiger, was it worth it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, yeah, specific. Yeah, exactly.
All right, signing off for real.
Let's wrap it off. Let's wrap it there.
Goodbye.
Crack on.
Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most!